Oh, what an honor it is to be here today. I'm Reverend Carol. I'm from Detroit Unity Temple, and it's a joy just to come out. It took me about 7 minutes to get here. That was wonderful. all honor and respect to each one of you. I behold the living Christ in you. I stand with you in love and in joy. You know, I was really, really thinking about the lesson today, and I was thinking about the fact that unity calls us to wake up to our spirituality. Not only unity, but many, many modalities, many, many new thought organizations call us to wake up to our divinity. And I was thinking about today, and I thought about my little great-granddaughter. I was keeping the kids one day, a lot of 2 and 3 year olds, must have been 4 or 5. They were all in the room, and I heard my great-granddaughter screaming, crying. I said, well, come on out here, let me know what's going on in there. And she, after I wiped her face and tears and everything, she said, they're fighting. I said, well, you stay out of there then. And with the biggest smile of glee, she ran back in there and shut the door. And I thought, wow. And they just carried on until they got tired. And I thought about, you know, there is a part of us that likes a good fight. And we have to acknowledge that. And understand it, because there would be no wars or rumors of wars if the war was not in us. And the war is in us like this. I used to use a book in my youth department called The Big Me and the Little Me. And what it talks about is that there's these two sides of our consciousness. The big me and the little me. We used to see it on TV as like an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other. That's who we are. That's how we're made. When I was in, I took a trip to Japan in 2011 and had the opportunity to visit a Shinto monastery there. And the priest told a story about creation when we were created, and we looked at God, and we realized how powerful we were. We realized how powerful we were. We realized the power that God had given us to co-create. And when we saw that, we looked at God, the story goes, and pulled God into the rock room of heaven and slammed the door and ran off. It's also the fall of man story, where we think that we can do it on our own, where we think that we can do anything we want because God has given us this power, and we have done it. We have done that. Again, there would be no wars or rumors of wars if war was not in our heart. Let's have that first slide as we move along now. This is a quote from Eckhart Tolle. Eckhart Tolle is a contemporary spiritual teacher he's not aligned with any specific organization, but he is a new thought person. He's the author of Stillness Speaks and The Power of Now. And he travels widely. He lives in Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada. But he's a very powerful man in his teaching. So I thought, this is wonderful, because this goes right along with that thing that we sing every Sunday. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. that is the truth. And that's the way, you know, I was kind of disappointed when I thought about it, because I, like many people, thought heaven was going to instantly appear. But heaven will not instantly appear unless there's a critical mass. And the critical mass is a huge number of people who turn to the God within them. And sincerely, authentically, not just on the surface, but from deep within. But this is a quote from Eckhart Tolle. He says, he teaches that the awakening of the human consciousness is no longer a luxury. It is a necessity for the survival of our species. It is up to each of us as individuals to engage in the work of personal transformation in our own lives and to contribute this shift to our communities. It's up to us. It's up to each one of us, because each one of us is a vibrational being, and we affect all of the people around us, the world consciousness, the human consciousness, and our ability to move into spiritual consciousness and full spiritual beings. I love this quote. I love Eckhart Tolle. I love his writings, because he's right there with unity teachings. I have for many, many years looked at what in the world is going on and how can we solve it. We can only solve it when we touch that place within us and look deeply in our heart and tell the truth about it. Look, see, tell the truth about what you're seeing, and then take some authentic action. That's an important piece about telling the truth about what you see, because we have been trained sometimes to talk ourselves out of what we see and what we know deep down within our heart. And we must return to the place where God is one. We are one with God. We're open to letting the flow happen. I hope that there's not anyone here who has someone in their family that is unacceptable. Because if there is, that is unacceptable. There is no person on the earth, walking on the earth today, that is unacceptable. Their behavior may be unacceptable. It may not be your choice, but they are a creation of God. They are spiritual beings made in the image and likeness of God. So if that is, and if there is, and not only in your family, but in your circle of knowing, if there is someone that is unacceptable, I ask that you look in the mirror and say, why? What is it about them that you deny their divinity? It's the insidious thing about racism is that a real racist or very prejudiced, a person that holds a pocket of prejudiced thoughts will not acknowledge you, will not acknowledge you if you are different, will not acknowledge your humanity or your spirituality. So I know there's a lot of people that say, let there be peace on earth. But what we need today is a lot of people who are walking, let there be peace on earth. I was getting out of my car a couple of weeks ago at the dollar store, and I saw this man pull up beside me, and he got out of his car, elderly man, he had a cane, and he got to the end of my car and he just stood there. And I thought, what is this all about now? And as I got out of the car, he still was standing there, and he said, ma'am, I looked at your face and I got so scared that I was scared to go into the store in front of you. I apologized to him, because we do this. We go out into the world and put on the ugliest, most fierce face that we can. And it is, actually, it is a way of protecting. Children do it, all people do it. But I ask you today, does this contribute to peace? Is this contributing to war or to peace? Maybe we need some new ways of being. Maybe we should go around and say the prayer of protection instead of putting on the evil faces. But I really wanted to apologize to him because I knew I was guilty of that. It was just like automatic. So I want to be a stand for peace on earth. Then I have to do that. I have to go out and shine. I have to go out, and through my eyes, you have to know that you are acceptable, that you are loved. I am not afraid. See, that's fear-driven, too. I am not afraid. I have nothing to be afraid of. I don't invoke anything in you that would make me feel afraid. Because I'm looking at you with the eyes of love and acceptance as a spiritual being. You know, most wars between individuals are of the cold rather than the hot variety. Lingering resentments, for example, grudges, long-held grudges, resources clutched rather than shared, help not offered. And I was really glad to see some of your core values here of diversity, welcoming. We can't fake welcoming. We can't fake any of these things. You can hold them to the surface and not act upon them, but you can't fake them. And first impressions, of course, are really, really important. Let's move to the second slide, please. This comes from the Anatomy of Peace, a book called The Anatomy of Peace, and it comes from the Arbinger Institute. It is a worldwide training and consulting firm led by some people, and most people know the Arbinger because of its founder, the work who was Terry Warner. But this comes from a book called Leadership and Self-Deception. Leadership and Self-Deception, how we deceive ourselves into different scenarios, I guess I could say. But I was looking at this chart, and these are the germs of war, the consciousness, the germs of war. And what they are mindsets, what we hold in mind, how we are being in the world. And I thought about this first box here, the better than box. It's where I view myself as superior, important, virtuous, and most of all, right. And my feelings, I have feelings of being impatient, disdainful. I'm indifferent. I don't care. And this is how I view others. They are inferior, incapable, irrelevant, false, wrong. And then, of course, the worldview is that we are in competition. There is no competition in God. There is no competition if you're not in. If you are not an enemy, you can't have an enemy. If enemy is not a part of your consciousness, you can't have an enemy. But the view of the world is that it's troubled and it needs me. The world needs me. As I thought about this, I thought about the first Unity Conference that I went to in 1967. And it was called Unity the Way Up. So I went down to Unity Village, and one interesting thing happened there. There were some very wealthy, wealthy people there who had come to ask the Unity Movement to please not share these teachings with people of color. And it was the time that I really committed myself to Unity, because they got up, the leaders there of the conference got up and let the whole body know, and there must have been 1,000 people there, that they couldn't do it. They would not do it because of the way the teachings are. You cannot withhold this type of teaching. It's been around all the time, but it has been hidden. So I can say that Unity has done a fabulous job of reaching and trying to create that critical mass. You can look on the internet, you can see our thoughts. You can listen to other denominations and you will hear the Unity teachings. So we are doing a fabulous job of that. And we must be doing a pretty good job of checking our thoughts and our feelings. You know, one of the core teachings of Unity is that thoughts held in mind will do what? Well, they will produce after their kind. They also will attract feelings of like nature. And then the third thing they will do is to propel you into action. So it's very important for you to understand. And that was a wonderful thing to see all of these very wealthy people, fur coats were flying, walk out of the conference because their millions of dollars were not accepted. And I give thanks because that's how I became who I am. Who I am. I started to see the light, the love, the joy of God. So the Better Than box, I also thought about the story in 1 Kings, which is a story of the two women and the baby who went before Solomon. This Better Than box shows the heart of the person. But the story goes like this, and you've heard it many times, that one woman had a baby and the other one stole it. And they both went before King Solomon to prove whose baby this was. I'm sure there was many people on both sides. Oh, it's hers, it's hers, it's hers. But when King Solomon said, okay, we'll take the baby and split the baby in half and both of you will have the baby, the real mother's heart came forth. And she said, I'm give the baby to her. So the Better Than box is asking us to show our hearts. You're not any better or any less than anybody else. And another thing, any species upon this earth. I say a prayer for the animal kingdom and for the plant kingdom, and especially for the Mother Earth and the things that we have done that we are now taking responsibility for. And hopefully we will be turning those things around. If you look at the next box across from there, the I Deserve box, I thought about the story of Cain and Abel, which was the first war recorded in the Bible. So you see, the Bible is a story of our consciousness. Any person that's out here that's holding a state of mind, any person can be found right in the Bible, because the Bible, it talks about mindsets. It talks about holding certain thoughts and feelings that make you who you are. And so I thought about the story of Cain and Abel. That was the first part of the first war. And it was about jealousy. And I would pray that no one is actively practicing jealousy. And if they are, that they are in the process of correcting that and healing any feelings of being less than, because That's where jealousy comes from. So Cain was so jealous of his brother, Abel, that he killed him. And it was about jealousy. I also thought about the story in John 8, 1 through 11, with the woman who was caught in adultery in the Bible, and how the crowd came to stone her. And so this story calls on us to not stone anyone in our heart, to not horribleize them. We don't have to accept their choices or their actions, but we do need to see them and be with them as if they are children of God, spiritual beings, loving beings. Because when we call that out, we get it. We are it. But the story goes that this woman was caught in adultery, and the crowd surrounded her, and they were going to stone her, kill her. And you might say, well, you know, if I was there in that time, if I was back when they were getting ready to crucify Jesus, when they were saying, crucify him, or if I was there when they were getting ready to stone and kill this woman, I would have hollered, mercy, mercy. Not so. We've done this many times. In our minds and in our hearts. You see, when it happens in the mind, it's already happened. It has already happened. Yes, we were there. Our species was there. The human spirit was there. And now is our opportunity not to stone and roast people over the spit of our minds, but to loose them and let them go. To loose them and let them go. To know that God has them. Or sometimes I hear parents say, well, I know what's better, maybe for an adult child. Well, you might know what's better for you, but you don't know what that person's soul growth is or why they're making the choices they are, even if they are bad choices. That has nothing to do with your loving them and being with them. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story. I was also thinking for that last box, the worse than Dan box. I thought about Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel. And this can be found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. But Hannah had a husband who really loved her, and she loved him. And in those days, they had many wives. But this one wife was so jealous of Hannah and the relationship that she had with their husband, that she taunted her. As she talked about, Hannah was also barren at the time. She talked about how she was a barren woman, and she just made her life miserable. Their jealousy turned into hatred. You know, we said before that thoughts held in mind will produce after their kind. Good thoughts and not so good thoughts. The little me or the big me. The interesting thing about this concept, though, is that whichever side you choose, you absorb the energy of all the whole. The whole. You absorb the energy of the whole. If I choose to be in my God self, I absorb all negativity. Because God, I am one with God. God is one with me. God, it is God who is speaking through me, not me. Of course, if I choose to be my little self and do it my own way, then the energy is absorbed, not completely, but that's why some people can't hear the still small voice, because There are too many negative thoughts. So anyway, in this view of this other wife, she felt like, evidently she felt like she was not as good as Hannah. Because the husband loved Hannah, truly loved her. And it led to feelings of helplessness, jealousy, bitterness, depression. And the way she expressed herself, finally Hannah did have Samuel, but it was a very, not a very loving environment that she came out of to be blessed. Let's go to that next slide, please. So I want you to think about this and think about your own state of mind. You know, I hear a lot of people complain. I thank God every day that I have health, that I'm standing here. I can stand right here. I can speak. I have health. I can move. God has provided me with transportation, with housing, clothing. This is what is meant by welcoming and loving. This is what is meant by empowering, because states of consciousness, as you are being with people, they see who you are. And if you are being love and light and joy and peace, then you are helping to bring heaven upon the earth. As I thought about this last slide, the anatomy of peace, of course, at the bottom, the two things are introverted. They're introverted in the book. In other words, the heart of peace should be on the left side. I thought that's a good idea to still use the slide, because there's so many people who think they can still hang on to their negativity, and then come and say or sing, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me, and everything is fine." Well, it's not so. There's some deep tissue work that needs to be done. Some real changing of the thoughts and feelings. You know, I was talking to one of my adult daughters, and I told her, she was asking me, did I lock a door? And I said, no, I locked the door last night. I locked it. She said, "You locked the door?" I said, "I locked the door." She said, "You locked the door." So finally, I just turned around. I was so insulted. I turned around and walked away. And as I was walking away, she said, no, that's not what I meant. I just, so watch what you're saying and how you're being. That could have been a door opening for war. I could have, but I did. What I did is I said, she is a child of God. She is not all these other things that my little self is telling me. She is a child of God. I forgive her for insulting my spirit. I forgive myself for seeing that. God, please forgive through me. Touch through me. Be through me. This day. Anyway, these two bottom parts are introverted. And again, I say, I think that's a good thing, because we do think we can hold on to our negativity and still be the light of the world. The light of the world is in you. It works through your hands, through your eyes. So I'm gonna really say to use the eyes for love. See with the eyes of love. There's no judgment in that. There's only a way of being with God. But this chart shows our behavior and the way we are being. And to have a heart of peace it means that I see others as people. They appear as just as real as I am. Their cares and concerns matter the same as my own. I actively respond to their humanity. But we can use also, God has given us free choice. So, you know, we can have a heart of war where we see others as objects. They appear less real than me. Their cares and concerns matter less to me than my own. I actively resist humanity. So I call on you today to let there be peace on earth and to truly let it begin with you. Let it begin with you. Again, if there are people in your circle, in your family, who are not acceptable, I ask and pray that you will start to work on that. Their actions may not be acceptable, their choices may not be acceptable, but they are acceptable. And to start treating them in that manner. It has been a great joy to be here with you today, to see another Unity Church, and I just feel the spirit here and the growth that will happen as you move through the days ahead. I will be praying with you, and I will be knowing that God is in charge and that everything will be in divine order for Unity of Farmington Hills. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. I want you, just before we close, I want you to take a look around. With the eyes of love, with the heart of peace, let there be peace on earth, and above all, let it begin with me. We'll just put that last slide up as we remember that we were sent here to bring peace on earth. So anything that costs you your peace of mind is too expensive. And negativity, negative thoughts and feelings, we'll do that. Again, it's been a joy to be with you this morning. Know that I am with you in spirit and in truth as we move, oh, wonderfully ahead into a time of peace on earth. God bless you.